So page 980, if you're looking for it in a church Bible, it'd be great. So this is Jesus speaking. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we have this morning some words before us that are hard for us to hear. We thank you that you are completely loving, and we know that everything in your word is for our good. And so we pray and we ask that you will help us to understand it and to respond how you want us to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, as I was saying, over the last few weeks, we have been looking at parables that pack a punch. These parables in Matthew's gospel that are really quite challenging. And we've come to the final one. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Now, Jesus' first disciples, if you remember, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me." And then he made a promise to them. He said, "I will make you into something. Can anybody help me?" Perhaps a young person might put their hand up and help me. What did Jesus say he would make them into? Fishes of... Want to put a hand up? Anyone remember? Perhaps an older person might remember if a younger person's not feeling. Oh, we've got one here at the front. Yes. Fishers of men. That's right. Fishers of people. And that's because Jesus' kingdom is like a net. I've got a net here. Like a net that catches not fish, but people for God and his kingdom. Now, do you think Jesus was thinking of a net like this? A little net? Maybe you've got one of these. No. Jesus was thinking of a net a bit more like this. An enormous kind of net that people like James and John would put out over the side of their boat. Or in fact, they sometimes had two boats together with this great big net pulled between them. And they pulled the net all the way around the Lake of Galilee. And all kinds of fish would get caught in it. Now, last week, my family went to a lake not far from here. And with some other people, they took their nets like this, our boys, and they caught some things. I'm just going to show you some pictures of some of the things they caught. Some big fish. And then... whoa, going too fast. There we go. Some little fish. And then some crayfish. Ah, look a bit scary, don't they? All kinds of fish. Some good to eat, and some maybe not so good to eat. Letting a big net down into the lake, like they would have done in those days, would have meant catching many, many types of fish. And they'd have gone on a big expedition, sailed around the lake, caught all these kinds of fish. And when it was over, the fishermen would drag this great big net to shore and then sit down and sort them out. And so I'm going to have a fisherman to come and help me. He's called Fisherman Jordan. Jordan is about to start as our ministry trainee, so I do apologize for getting you to do something before you've even started. But Jordan is going to come and help me. And we've got a great big net, haven't we, here? A great big drag net to drag and see what we can find. Come on then, let's go. Let's see what we've got. There's a lot in here. Yeah, let's bring it, shall we? So they drag it ashore off the blue lake. So we sit down and have a look and see what we've got. So what we've got to work out is what is good to eat and what is not. That looks all right, doesn't it? What's that you've got there? No, maybe not. What is that? Should we eat that? I don't think that looks very good to eat. These little silver ones look really nice. What is that?
Big shark.
It looks a bit, octopus. Yeah? You think we should eat the octopus? All right, I'm not sure about that. There's a shark. That looks a bit dirty. Some of these don't look very nice. They look good. Good. We've got a turtle here. I don't think we're going to eat that. That one's a bit dirty. That looks all right. Ah! Let's not eat that. Wow, wonderful. Thank you very much, Fisherman Jordan. We have got a container full of really good fish, and we've thrown the other ones away. So that's what they did. They separated into the good fish, the ones that they were going to eat or sell at the market, and then the bad ones, the ones that were not fit to eat, they threw out. And Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like this net. Now, if you remember, Jesus' parables are stories with a deeper meaning. So we need to think a little bit more about how the kingdom of heaven is like this. We'll do that in a moment. Thank you, Nigel, very much indeed. Great. Well, parables that pack a punch. There we go. Thank you very much, guys. Here's the question then. What does this parable mean? Well, of course, the net, as we have already started to see, is like when the good news of Jesus goes out into the world. That's what I think the net stands for. And the fish are like all the different types of people that are caught up and drawn into God's churches. And it's a reminder, isn't it, that there are every different kind of person you can imagine in the world is drawn into God's churches. But the part of the parable that Jesus wants to spend time explaining is the really difficult part. It's in verse 49 to 50. And it's about what happens at the end of the fishing trip. Let me just read these words again. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the parable teaches, if I can get that back a screen, that would be great, that a great separation is coming. God's fishing expedition will be going on all through this age. That means all through this period of time that we all live in, right up until when Jesus comes again. When he comes to bring his everlasting kingdom in, the kingdom of heaven. And all through this age, it means there's going to be all kinds of people in the church. It's going to be a mixed body, a mixture of the righteous and the wicked. But then at the end, there will be a separation. Like the fish, people will be separated. Now I wonder, here's a question for you. Did you notice who is going to do the separating? Perhaps someone noticed as we were reading along. Who is going to do the separating? There's a hand there, Benji. Angels. Thank you for noticing that. That is really important. It's not going to be a human that does it, because we get things wrong, don't we? We might not do right. It's going to be God's special helpers, the angels. Which means, however hard this is for us to read, we can be assured God won't do anything wrong. He always does right. What will happen in this separation? Well, it'll be like the fishermen sorting on the beach. Some will be brought into God's everlasting kingdom, and others will be separated out and sent away. And this is the hard bit. Where will they be sent to? Jesus says they will be sent out, and he describes it as being like thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, Jesus, in his teaching, uses different pictures, different images to describe to our minds how awful it will be to not be allowed into God's heaven. They are pictures that tell us not exactly what it is, because we can't really understand that. But he does tell us a bit what it will be like. And he is saying it will be like being thrown into a furnace of fire. Now, a furnace is a super hot fire, and its job is to destroy all that is evil. That's what's going on. And to be shut out of the kingdom of heaven, therefore, will be awful. In fact, look down at verse 50 again, and you see what it'll be like. It says, there will be weeping. There will be crying. And it says, there will be gnashing of teeth. That's when you grind your teeth together in anguish. Now, dear friends, this is very tough for us to hear, isn't it? But Jesus has a good and a kind reason for telling us this. And we're going to see that in just a moment. But before we do that, we're going to sing again. And this song is a really good song to sing at this time because it reminds us that God is good, that he never changes, that he always keeps his good promises to us. So even as we find this parable really hard, let's draw near to God now, because he is the one who can help us. Well, two questions then about this parable. First one, why is Jesus telling us this? Because you might be thinking, I wish this parable wasn't in the Bible. Why does Jesus, the most loving person ever, say these things? Well, I don't know where you went on holiday this year, but we went to the seaside, and I absolutely love swimming in the sea. So just imagine you are going for a swim in the sea, and as you're swimming along, suddenly a lifeboat comes up to you. And they shout out, get in the boat, get in the boat. And you say, why? I can't see any danger, I'm fine. And they say, did you not see those signs? And you say, what signs? And they point back to the shore and say, those signs. Oh. There we go, wonderful. Danger, sharks. Now, that is a scary sign. If you see that, you can even see the teeth, can't you? But it's not there to spoil your fun, is it? It's there to warn you of a danger that you cannot see. And it's there because people care. Because every year in the world, people die from shark attacks. The danger is real. And signs like this are there to stop something horrible happening. Well, it is the same with Jesus and his parables. He's warning us of the dangers of being separated from God's kingdom, because he cares. And he doesn't want anybody to face that. As the prophet Ezekiel put it in the Old Testament, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their evil ways and live? So Jesus is saying this because he cares. And then, let's have a think of another question. I'd love this thing to sort of move when I ask it to. There we go. Here's the second question then. Jesus is saying this because he cares. How do we avoid this danger? That is the million-dollar question hanging over us. But the answer is simple. Remember the lifeboat. What do you have to do? Get into the lifeboat. It's as simple as that. And the guys there will help you, won't they? All you have to do is reach out your hands, and they'll grab you and they'll pull you in and you'll be safe. In the parable, there are two types of people. Some who are described as the wicked and some who are described as the righteous. Now, the word righteous is a funny word. What it really means is that you are in the right with God. It basically means God's friends. And so the big question is, how do you become righteous? How do you become one of God's friends? Is it by spending all your life trying to be good, trying to be good enough for God? And if you're good enough, then he'll let you in. And if you're not good enough, then he'll send you away. Well, I hope you've realized, if you've been coming to Holy Trinity for a while, that that is not what the Bible teaches at all. It actually teaches that none of us are good enough for God's perfect heaven. Remember the great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Can any one of us put our hands on our hearts and say we've done that? That is the standard of heaven. Heaven is perfect. God is perfect. His kingdom is perfect. If we're going to get into heaven, we need to be like that. And none of us have done it. Which means we're all in danger. Every single one of us is in danger of being sent away from God. We need to be saved. But wonderfully, God has sent the lifeboat. And the lifeboat is Jesus. That's why Jesus came. He's like that lifeboat, come to save us. And we need to accept his rescue and reach out to him. And if we do that, if we turn to him, he'll bring us into the boat. That is the way to be right with God, to turn from evil, as we said in our prayer before, and to come to Jesus. Jesus wants us to come to him, to trust in him, so that we will be safe from the danger. When we're sorry for the evil we've done, and we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, he promises us we are right with God. And if we're right with God, then we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear about the future. And the idea of this great separation that is coming, if we're friends with Jesus now, we will be safe then. Nothing will be able to separate us from God's love. So, this is the big thing. Make sure you are right with God. Make sure you've got into the lifeboat. You've said sorry for sin and you're trusting Jesus. That's the most important thing we need to do if we've understood this parable. It is that simple. Turn to Jesus and trust in him. Let's pray, shall we? That we'll all do that. Dear Heavenly Father, this parable is one that we perhaps wish was not in the Bible. Lord, we find this hard. But we thank you that we know you are good. We know that heaven is perfect. And we know that you have sent Jesus to be the lifeboat, to rescue us so that we can go there. Lord, I pray for each one of us. Lord, you know that within your church around the world, there are many people, and not everybody has yet fully trusted you. So I just pray for every single one of us here today that you'll help us to trust you and turn to you and so receive your promise that we will be righteous and safe forever with you. Lord, we just pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.